Major League Baseball made history last week when they announced Kim Ng as the Miami Marlins general manager. This is the first time any woman, let alone a woman of color, will be in the top job for a Major League Baseball team. Here's what Ng had to say to all those young people who might want to follow in her footsteps.
Anything is possible. Just work your butt off, keep your nose to the grindstone. It's great to have people block for you every once in a while. Soak up all the information you can, but anything is possible.
And with that remarkable accomplishment, there will almost certainly come a tough road ahead. Joining me now is Jane McManus, director for the Marist Center for Sports Communication and a sports columnist for Deadspin. Jane, nice to have you back on the show.
Always happy to be here.
So Kim Ng was not a surprising choice, at least internally, for the role. She had tried for this job a number of times before, right?
She said that she has tried out for a general manager position or been interviewed for one at least five times and probably many, many more than that. The last 9 years, she's been working in Major League Baseball's front office, basically just waiting for her opportunity to come along.
Is that typical for general managers? Is it often a job that requires multiple, you know, tries before you're anointed, if you will?
Well, let's be absolutely clear. Kim Ng has been qualified for this job for the last decade. She has been at the place where typically men in baseball are getting their first general manager opportunities. The problem is, it's, you know, it's not like applying for a job, you know, in a conventional setting. You have to be chosen by somebody who's an owner and who wants to put you in a role where you are doing all of the negotiating when it comes to the team, when it comes to players. You're the front-facing person who's talking to the media, who's talking to other owners, who's interacting with baseball on behalf of this team. So you really do have to have someone who backs you and says, you're the person. And, you know, unfortunately, for the last decade, Kim Ng has been qualified and been ready, but hasn't been able to find someone who was willing to invest her with that kind of power.
Let's talk a little bit about her career, because you know a lot more about her trajectory than a lot of people. What's her career in Major League Baseball look like up to this point?
Well, she's been, you know, in the front office of various teams since 2000, 2001, when she was with the Yankees and as an assistant GM. And she went on to be in the Dodgers front office. She also was with Chicago. And then for the last 9 years, she's been in baseball's front office, where she's served on a lot of committees involving like diversity and different things like that with baseball, trying to figure out how can baseball be more proactive about having opportunities available for women and people of color. And there is some irony there, right? That she has been in this position where, you know, with a lot of other people in baseball, there are just a handful of women who have roles that like the one that Kim Ng had, these assistant GM roles, you know, number two, three, four in an organization. And Kim Ng was at the head of some of these diversity committees trying to figure out how can we get more women in baseball. And really, she'd been ready for this opportunity for that long as she was serving on these committees.
So what do you think tipped the scales this time around for her, given the fact that she's interviewed and tried for this job a bunch of times, beside the fact that obviously, as we've stated multiple times, she is eminently qualified for this role? What do you think tipped the scales in terms of the Marlins giving her this opportunity?
You know, I think part of it is staying power. You know, when you stick around and you say, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere, you can pass me over for a job and I know I'm here for this and I'm going to stick with it, which is something that Kim Ng has said that she's done. I think that's part of it. I think Major League Baseball probably got involved and was encouraging teams to give her a more serious look rather than just an interview. I also think the fact that she probably had a longstanding relationship with Derek Jeter, who is part of the Marlins organization. You know, here's a relatively young person. He was a biracial player, so he knows what it's like to break a barrier or to be, you know, an icon who represents something more than just himself, who also understands that idea of celebrity and who understands how somebody can have an impact well beyond the job that they hold. So I think all of those things kind of came around and led to an opportunity where it was time and where she was the person for the job.
Jane, not only is Kim Ng a woman, she is also an Asian American woman. Why does that matter for the MLB at large?
Major League Baseball has really struggled with diversity in its ranks. And in particular, you see this with the way that there were a certain number of Black players. Famously, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. And now you've just seen that they haven't been able to kind of keep that momentum. There is diversity when it comes to Latino players, players of Hispanic origin. But other than that, there have been fewer Black players who've been drawn to the game. They haven't done as well, and certainly in terms of leadership roles. I mean, really, you know, professional sports in general don't do a good job with putting people of color in leadership roles, and obviously women, since Kim Ng is the first one who served as a general manager now across the big four sports leagues in the United States. But it also, in particular, are people of color. And being able to serve in those roles, you know, Kim Ng has told stories of hearing racial slurs, you know, from people in baseball because of her race, and which is completely unacceptable. So to be able to cross that line and to be able to have a role where she has real power and authority, you know, it means something. It means something not only for people outside of baseball, but it also sends a message to people within the game.
Now, we've talked on this show about what it feels like to be the first or the only, and in this case, Kim Ng will be the first and the only woman of color, Asian American woman and woman at the top of a Major League Baseball team. When you are the first and the only, there will be challenges. What do we expect Kim Ng to have to confront as she moves forward in this role?
Well, that's a great point. And as we know, when you're representative not just of yourself and your own talent, but you're representative of a group of people or a demographic.
Which is unfortunate, and it happens to many people who are the first and the only. They can't just be who they are and be done. It almost is like we are representing, you know, an entire group of people.
100%. So I think a lot of people can probably relate to that, having been that person or having seen that person in action, you know, in their own worlds. And so unfortunately, her failures will not just be hers, but they will be considered by some to be representative of what women or people of color are capable of as a general manager. You know, she has, and many people in a role like that also have a cultural issue. Now, she's been in baseball for 30 years, and she understands that culture. And you know, as do any women who work in professional sports or who work in a male-dominated field, you have to be aware of what those dynamics are and how you sit on the outside of a lot of those dynamics all the time, and how to negotiate that tension. So obviously she is familiar with that and how to do that, but she will be looked at, you know, as somebody, she'll be scrutinized, I think probably more closely. Her decisions could be questioned more closely because of where they are coming from. You know, there are a lot of white men who've had jobs as general managers. They flame out. They don't do very well. They're just there for a couple of years and then they leave and then they go back to an assistant role. Well, if that were to happen to her, it will obviously, you know, feel different, I think, for a lot of people watching this. And you never know how much of a shot somebody is actually getting. Yes, it's one thing to have the role. Will she be empowered fully in the way that many men who have this role are? You know, how much autonomy is she going to have? How much respect will she be given as her due by the people that she's interacting with? These are all questions I think that have yet to be answered.
And you mentioned how much power she will have. As general manager, typically that role is extraordinarily powerful. What are some of the things that could limit or curb her power there? Are they things that are less tangible, like a team that might not want to take its orders from a woman? Or are there blocks, other political blocks that could happen?
You know, just as with any field where you have a working environment, there are political tensions within an organization all of the time. You know, an owner, perhaps, who wants to put his or her stamp, generally in professional sports, it's his stamp on a team, who wants to be the final authority in smaller decisions, micromanaging. You may have, you know, interactions with somebody who doesn't feel comfortable working with her for whatever reason, and she has to make sure that that is not holding her back. You know, all of these little political situations that she will have to negotiate as a general manager. You know, there's a reason there's a glass ceiling in baseball. And that's because it's been put there by these structural forces that have existed in baseball, you know, for the last 100 years. Those haven't gone away just because she got this job. She's still going to have to negotiate the vestiges of those ideas that have kept women out of positions like general manager and coaching positions and reffing positions. There are lots of positions in professional sports that have nothing to do with gender, and yet women are often kept out of them for reasons that have nothing to do with that.
Well, then I'm curious, Jane, more broadly, when we think about women in professional sports, or I should say male-dominated professional sports, Kim Eng is one example. I believe there's a in the NFL, for example, there's a woman assistant coach on one
Katie
of the teams.
Sowers.
But there's still so few and far between. Does this indicate a broader shift?
Yes, it is a broader shift. Because there are women in the pipeline of all of these major leagues. You do have Katie Sowers in the NFL as an assistant coach. You do have Becky Hammon, who's ready for a head coaching job in the NBA and should ultimately get it. So there are women who are able to take advantage of some opportunities that are becoming available. You know, in the NBA, you have women who've played this game since they were able to walk. There's no reason that opportunities in the NBA should be limited only to men. So I think you're seeing some of these attitudes change, whether it's, you know, whether it comes to coaching, whether it comes to refereeing, all of these different things. Scouting is another example of a role that can be filled by a woman that doesn't have anything to do with gender, and which women can do just as well as men. So the idea is it's not really about the skill set that women bring, the love of the game that women bring, the familiarity with the rules and the game that women can bring also. It really is about these structural issues that hold them back, the idea that sports are a boys' club and that girls aren't allowed. That's really what women are dealing with, and they have to deal with it kind of at all levels. Each woman who comes into a sport in this role has to figure out how to negotiate those political dynamics on her own. And so there's a great informal network of women across sports who are working to excel in a sport, and they rely on each other.
Jane McManus is director of the Marist Center for Sports Communication and a sports columnist for Deadspin. Jane, thanks so much for being with us as always.
Appreciate the conversation, Tanzana.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.